For Idaho Matters right now, I'm Gemma Gaudette. Back in 1995, one of the darkest chapters in Boise's history unfolded. 16 men were arrested and 1,500 people were questioned in what became known as the Boys of Boise scandal. Now, fast forward to today. So I want to fast forward to today, where an investigation into Boise's homosexual underground has been turned into, get this, a musical. You heard me right. A musical. The Show on the Roof is playing now at the Boise Contemporary Theater, and the creative team behind it, Tom Ford and Alex Sayek, join us live now. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thanks, Gemma.
So, Tom, I want to start the interview with you because you were approached by Alex to write a musical about the Boys of Boise about 4 years ago. You said no.
And I think
people can understand why. So why did you say no? And then all of a sudden, did you say, okay?
Well, there were several reasons. I mean, the main reason I said no, Gemma, was that I had never written anything before. And quite frankly, didn't think that I had that skill set and or that talent. And so that was just sort of terrifying to me as a prospect. But also the story was just so dark and sad and complicated. And I didn't see how that sang. But I told Alex that I would go back and reread the book, The Boys of Boise by John Gerassi. And then I had the great good fortune to find Seth Randall's documentary, The Fall of 55.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you've had Seth and Alan Verda, the historical consultant, on the show. And in Seth's really lovely documentary, there is a story about a man named Al Travelstead who ran a drive-in restaurant on the outskirts of Boise on Fairview Avenue, by where the fairgrounds used to be. And he did musical reviews on the roof of the drive-in to entertain the people while they had their meals in their cars. And there was a photo of the drive-in with the waitresses on top of the roof in these showgirl poses. And all of a sudden I was like, okay, that's a musical. That's a musical. That's a way in and a way to sort of theatricalize and, you know, get a perspective on a sort of dark story that could also have sort of really musical theater entertainment values surrounding it. So that became sort of the framework and the launch pad from where we took off.
And Alex, you ended up writing the music and the lyrics to the show. Why did you want to turn this incredibly dark time in Boise's history into a musical? And I have to say, because I also think that, I mean, in particular, before Seth Randall's documentary, The Fall of 55, I would say the most people living in the Treasure Valley, if they were of a certain age, didn't even know about this, or if they'd heard about it, thought maybe it was, you know, legend.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually found out about it through, I was writing another piece for Idaho Shakespeare Festival's Idaho Theater for Youth that Tom here had actually commissioned me to write, which is an adaptation of Around the World in 80 Days. And I was staying with a nice host family at the time, and David, his name was, the father of this host family, basically asked me at dinner one night if I had heard of The Boys of Boise. And I said, no, I hadn't. And he said, I'll lend you my copy. So he gave me the book, and I read it over, and he's like, I've always wanted to see this done theatrically. And I sort of at the time didn't see anything theatrical about it, but when I went back and visited them later that year, when I was here in the summer in 2018, he brought it up again, and I was like, you know what, I'll give it another shot. So I read it again, and that's when I went to Tom, and I basically told him, I think there might be a diamond of an idea here. And it had also been sort of a string in my writing career. I had done a string of sort of shorter, peppier storytelling beats, and I was looking for something that I could dig my teeth into a little bit more in terms of dramatic storytelling.
So Tom, you mentioned that you started with the idea of this this roof of this drive-in, and this is where the play takes place. It's called the Howdy Partner Drive-In. And so tell us a little bit more then about the basic plot of the show on the roof. I mean, who are the characters?
Well, it's, you know, the roof becomes more sort of metaphoric, I would say, as sort of a playing space in which to tell the story. You know, I'm going to travel into spoiler territory just a little bit.
That's okay.
The idea of the show is that Al, our narrator, interested in like 1940s, 50s movies. And so like a movie like Heaven Can Wait, I mean, well, that's a remake of Here Comes Mr. Jordan. But, you know, and It's a Wonderful Life, this idea of someone getting a chance to come back and tell a story. So Al is given a chance by God to come back. He's had a dream in heaven that he was doing a show on the roof again, but it wasn't the show that they did back in the 50s. It was his group telling the story of the Boys of Boise. And so that's sort of where we start. And so Al is literally plopped onto this roof at the top of the show and has the chance to sort of go through this story and his own story as the evening progresses. And it doesn't quite turn out the way he had it in his head. That's all I'll say about that in terms of spoilers, but that's sort of where we start. So,
okay. So then,
go ahead.
Oh, I wanted to ask Alex then. So with the music itself, I mean, as we mentioned, and if you haven't seen the documentary, The Fall of 55 or the book, about this, I do encourage you to read about this. But Alex, this is such a dark time. So how do you make the music, fall in line with that, or is it upbeat? I mean, because musicals can go either way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was something when we first started writing it. I mean, Tom can attest to this. This was sort of a balance. I was pulling one way, and he was pulling the other. There was a string of 1 week I wrote like three very, very heavy dramatic songs, and I just like cracked in front of Tom. I was like, I need to write something that has levity to it. So there definitely is a mix. I promise this isn't just a trudge through a depressing swamp, basically. We have arcs and valleys of drama and comedy. Sort of, you know, Al's character acts as the master of ceremonies of the evening, trying to guide it along a traditional musical theater route. And of course, sometimes that doesn't go the way he plans, and a little more reality thrown into the equation.
I want to take
Gemma,
a listen
I
too.
Have to say the thing that's been really exciting. You know, we started performances last Wednesday, and we opened last Saturday night. The thing that's been so satisfying and thrilling is, you know, we really worked hard to put as much humor as we could into the show. And the audiences seem to find a lot of it very funny without, you know, and that was our intention, without sacrificing what, you know, the real seriousness of the story. And that has just been thrilling
I have to tell both of you, as we're talking about this live, I'm getting messages from listeners who have seen the show already and saying things like amazing, super great music and story, constant surprises. So literally, as we're talking about this, we're getting feedback in real time about this.
Lovely.
Don't you love this? You know what it reminds me of in a way is, and then we do need to take a quick break. One of my favorite musicals is Les Mis. And you talk about heavy content, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There is such levity in parts of it, right? With the barkeep, you know, and his wife and all of that, and how that goes throughout. And it's almost like you need those breaks of levity to be able to absorb the darkness of the story.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a very theatrical telling of, and a very, you know, Al Travelstead was a great showman, you know, and so it has that element of its showtime to it, you know, all of this. Yeah.
The play has heartbreak. It has mayhem, but then it has these series of cabaret style performances. So I'm curious, Tom, how much of the show is about song and dance, but then how much of it is about that social and political pressures of homosexuality in 1955. But I must say, how timely of a musical for what we are seeing going on in our country right now in 2022.
Yeah, Gemma, I when we started writing this, it felt, you know, it felt distant. But, you know, with relevance, but distant. And right now, performing it, it feels very, very present. That's what I can say to that topic. It seems like a much needed story to be told. In my sort of experience of, you know, working on the script, and also I'm in the show and performing, so it just feels very vital.
So I'm curious about how much of the show is history and how much of it is current events, or do the two mesh? And maybe
I think the two mesh, don't you, Alex?
Yeah, there definitely I think leans more into what happened then, but there are, you know, references and parallels to what is now. Mm-hmm. Because of that aspect, we talked about that, you know, this is all sort of a chance for Al to come back from heaven, essentially. So the actual timeline is that it's taking place in the present, but we're peering back at the 50s.
So this scandal in 1955, I mean, literally put people in jail during what really was this homosexual panic. I mean, for lack of a better term for it. So in the musical, do you use real people's names? And if so, I mean, how important is it that their stories, you know, be told?
We do use real people's names here. You know, it's but it is historical fiction and it is a musical.
Right.
I liken it. I mean, I'm not saying it's on the same level of expertise, but, you know, I keep referring to The Crown in terms of, like, that's all real people, but it's all fiction. You know, I mean, there's certain events in that show that are actual, but anytime anybody's in a closed room talking, that's fiction, you know. But it's, you know, being so we try to I think both of us tried very hard to be respectful to the story and the truth of the real people's stories. But it is fiction, is my answer to that question.
I would love to hear from both of you on what you would like people to take away from this once they see this and they walk out of the theater. And Alex, I'll start with you.
I would love people to, what I think music does so well is, for me at least, my entire life, music has been a way for me to absorb emotions, information, anything that I deem necessary. I channel it easier through music, and that's why I write, to hopefully make it easier for other people. So whether it's this subject that they haven't known about or they haven't come to terms with, I hope that my writing is making it somehow possible for someone in the audience to carry this story with them and hopefully tell others about. And if they end up humming some of the songs too, that's great.
And Tom, what about you?
Well, I would say simply that I feel like one thing that we need to, I would like to see start happening with the world is for people to just take a moment to imagine what the other person is going through, that we're starting to lose a certain sense of empathy and kindness to each other in the midst of the difficulties of the last couple of years. And I think that this show is an invitation to see that there's a complexity to everyone, and it's not black and white, and that a panic about anything or an anger that gets fired into fury can be harmful to not just the community but the world itself. That if that's not too grandiose. So
no, I think that's very true. As we start to wrap up the interview, I would love to listen to one of the songs. It's in the musical. It's called Boy. Alex, can you set this up for us? Tell us a little bit about what we're about to listen to.
Yeah, of course. So what you're going to hear is the song's called The Loneliest Boy in the World. And it's essentially, the version you're going to hear is what's called a rough demo. Essentially, before we went into a full production, I would record basically the entire score at my piano and my own voice layered on top of myself. So the director and the choreographer and the design team could get a sense for what the show would sound like without the full production. And so that's the quality. I just wanted to give that heads up. And then in terms of where it falls in the show, one of the characters, a historical character, William Baker, he has, Tom, do you mind if I just go
ahead? Yep, go ahead.
He has shot and killed his father. He was one of the boys who was involved in the, basically, ring of homosexuality panic, essentially. And he shoots and kills his father, and that's basically where the song picks up.
Okay, let's take a listen.
I'm the loneliest boy in the world.
Oh, God. Oh, William, what have you done?
I don't care about nobody, and nobody cares where I go, what I do, who I shoot,
I'm gonna call
who
the police.
I screw.
I'll tell them it was me, baby.
I've only got me. I got told a lot of lies. I got beaten, I got wise, and surprise, like a hardened old cowboy, I drew my gun and I watched the dust fly in the setting sun. There were two standing.
We've been listening to a song from the musical, The Show on the Roof. We have had the fortune to talk with Tom Ford and Alex Sayek. They are the creative team behind this. The musical is playing at Boise Contemporary Theater through May 7th. Tom and Alex, I want to thank you both for taking time today to talk with us about this. Absolutely. Coming up tomorrow on Idaho Matters, we'll have our Doctor's Roundtable. We'll talk about a new book about six nuns from Kentucky in 1946 who made a journey to one of the poorest states in India to start a hospital and to train Indian women to become nurses. That's all coming up tomorrow on Idaho Matters. I want to thank all of you for joining us today. Our senior producer is Samantha Wright. Our assistant producer is Hannah Gardosky. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you back here tomorrow.